friends. This is Dr. Meg Meeker, co-host of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Haven't we had a wonderful year this year? I don't know about you, but I have been so blessed by working in the Family Talk ministry. I'd like to take a minute to personally thank you for being faithful listeners, for being out there supporting us. I wish that I could meet every single one of you, but unfortunately, this side of heaven, it's a little impossible. I wanted to take this time to wish you a wonderful Merry Christmas with your loved ones. And I hope that in 2016, you will have a blessed year, and may God bless you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Best of the Best broadcast edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. We are continuing to bring you the most highly rated Family Talk programs of 2015. Unfortunately, though, today's program is not a regular broadcast covering good news or an uplifting topic. Instead, the situation is one that really grieved all of us here at Family Talk. In June, the Supreme Court issued a groundbreaking decision on gay marriage. 3 weeks later, Dad, you posted a video to share what you believe this ruling means for our country. That message quickly became one of the most downloaded and shared programs on our website because people wanted to hear from reliable Christian leaders around the country, and many of them turned to you.
Well, that's true, Ryan. In fact, I still am. Dealing with it, because this was an historic moment. Mm-hmm. This was not just yet another Supreme Court ruling. This is one that will affect future generations and the future of this nation. And from this point on, as I indicated, the institution of the family will never be the same. It will be forever changed. And the country itself will be different because of it. Furthermore, the federal government appears now to have declared a legal war on those who disagree with that ruling. If you don't like it, you can find yourself in court. Mm. And that has implications for just about everything.
It does, Dad. And you've written an editorial that addresses those issues. And we filmed those, and that's been viewed hundreds of thousands of times online, and the response really has been overwhelming.
We're going to let our listeners hear the audio of that recording today, because this comes from my heart, and let's go ahead and let our listeners hear it.
I have something very important to say to you today. As most Americans, and indeed the watching world, have heard, the United States Supreme Court decreed on June 26, 2015, that marriage in this country would thereafter be redefined. More than 5,000 years ago, in Genesis 2:24, we're told that the Creator gave Adam and Eve His prescription for the first family. It's written, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." That was the divine plan, and it has essentially prevailed wherever mankind has taken root from that time to this. Now, however, five imperious lawyers, known as justices, have a better idea. Instead of marriage consisting exclusively of a man and a woman, they expanded the definition in the Constitution to include same-sex unions. And that's only the beginning. Already there is speculation about other permutations being added, including polygamy and what is known as polyamorous relationships, and that means many loves. Even though I have anticipated this cultural sea change for the past 30 years, I've found myself grieving over the implications for our country and for Western civilization. This decision will quickly touch every dimension of American life, and the family will be forever changed. I grieve most for what it will do to our children, our grandchildren, and future generations. They will be taught that right is wrong and that wrong is right. and that the teachings of Scripture are unreliable and inaccurate. How outrageous it is to me that boys and girls barely out of babyhood are already being introduced in some schools and some states to perverse adult behavior. Soon, public school textbooks throughout the country will be rewritten and re-illustrated to conform to this ruling. It matters not that these revisions will contradict the beliefs and convictions of their parents. It's already become the law of the land. Many adopted kids will grow up in homes with same-sex parents, lacking either masculine or feminine role models. They're among the saddest victims of this ruling. Adults will suffer too. Every indication is that a barrage of court cases has been planned and will quickly be filed against those who hold to politically incorrect views of marriage. Many of us will be dragged into court to be prosecuted or subjected to civil judgments. Some will lose their jobs. Some will lose their professional licenses. Some will be persecuted and ridiculed and fined. Some may go to prison as the years unfold. Since same-sex marriage has now been determined to be a universal human right by the highest court in the land, it will trump religious liberty and affect churches, seminaries, ministries, Christian schools, businesses, hospitals, charities, and many other institutions. The tax-exempt status of each of these entities is at serious risk. Above all else, I fear that God's judgment will befall this once great nation. Chief Justice of Alabama Supreme Court, Judge Roy Moore, a friend of mine, said, "Welcome to the new world. It's just changed for you Christians. You are going to be persecuted." Conservative Justice of the Supreme Court Samuel Alito wrote, "I assume that those who cling to old beliefs, traditional Christian concepts, will be able to whisper their thoughts in the recesses of their homes. But if they repeat those views in public, they will risk being labeled as bigots and treated such by government, employers, and schools." That's one of the other justices of the Supreme Court. The National Organization for Marriage issued this statement on the day the Supreme Court decision was issued. They wrote, "We reject this decision, and so will the American people. It represents nothing but judicial activism. Legislating from the bench with a bare majority of the justices on the Supreme Court exercising raw political power to impose their own preferences on marriage when they have no constitutional authority to do so. It is a lawless ruling that contravenes the decisions of over 50 million voters and their elected representatives. It's a decision that's reminiscent of other illegitimate court rulings such as Dred Scott and Roe v. Wade, and it will further plunge the Supreme Court into public disrepute." Make no mistake about it, they wrote. The National Organization for Marriage, or NOM, and countless millions of Americans do not accept this ruling. Instead, we will work at every turn to reverse it. The U.S. Supreme Court does not have the authority to redefine something it didn't create. Marriage was created long before the United States and our Constitution came into existence. Our Constitution says nothing about marriage. The majority who issued today's ruling, today being June 26, have simply made it up out of thin air with no constitutional authority. In his letter from a Birmingham jail, Dr. Martin Luther King discussed the moral importance of disobeying unjust laws, which we submit applies equally to unjust Supreme Court decisions. Dr. King evoked the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas that an unjust law or decision is one that is, quote, a human law that's not rooted in eternal law or natural law. Today's decision of the Supreme Court lacks both constitutional and moral authority. There is no eternal or natural law that allows for marriage to be redefined. Today's decision is by no means the final word concerning the definition of marriage. Indeed, it's only the beginning of the next phase in this struggle. NAM is committed to reversing this ruling long term and ameliorating it over the short term. We at Family Talk concur with that entire statement. I'll end my comments by quoting the final words from the Manhattan Declaration, written by the late Charles Colson, a mentor to me, and Professor Robbie George, a great friend, and Dr. Timothy George. These brilliant men wrote, "Because we honor justice and the common good, we will not comply with any edict that purports to compel our institutions to participate in abortions, embryo destructive research, assisted suicide, and euthanasia, or any other anti-life act, nor will we bend to the rule purporting to force us to bless immoral sexual partnerships, treat them as marriage or the equivalent, or refrain from proclaiming the truth as we know it about morality and immorality and marriage and the family." Listen to this very carefully. "We will fully and ungrudgingly render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but under no circumstances will we render to Caesar what is God's." It's time for Christians to awaken and allow its collective voices to be heard. We must defend their beliefs in a spirit of Christian love, but with conviction that the Christian and religious liberties handed down to them and us by the Founding Fathers must not be relegated to the ash heap of history.
Dad, you recorded that video just 3 days after the Supreme Court decision. And as I've thought about that decision, I've become more convinced than ever that in some ways, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. At the end of the day, they don't have the authority to define or redefine any institution that God has created, especially marriage. And of course, as we talk about this today, their decision is important because of the impact it will have on our children, families, churches, and future generations.
Well, Ryan, what you said is true and not true. It is true because it's not right and it's not according to the scripture and to American tradition. But the Supreme Court does set the law of the land.
That's right.
It doesn't create law, but by interpreting it a certain way, it becomes the law of the land. And we're stuck with it for now.
Yeah.
So this has major, permanent significance for us, our children, and future generations.
Absolutely. Well, Dad, you also recorded another video that day that has been seen again by hundreds of thousands of people, and we're going to let our listeners hear the audio from that now.
I want to share with you a vitally important article written by Kelly Shackelford, the CEO and Chief Counsel of the Liberty Institute, and Ken Blackwell, the Senior Fellow for Family Empowerment at the Family Research Council. Their article is entitled, "Same-Sex Marriage Ruling Starts New Religious Freedom War." It was published in Investor's Business Daily on June 26, 2015. And that, of course, is the date the U.S. Supreme Court redefined the institution of marriage. To quote Franklin Roosevelt after the Pearl Harbor attack, "This is another date that will live in infamy. Let me read this important article. Observant Christians and adherents to other faiths are reeling now from the Supreme Court's declaration of a constitutional right to same-sex marriage and preparing for an unprecedented struggle for their rights to express their beliefs and to live their lives accordingly, as new battles will now be waged unless and until a future Supreme Court reverses course. The Constitution says nothing about marriage or abortion. Yet in 1973, the Supreme Court declared a constitutional right to abortion, resulting in decades of relentless political and legal conflicts. Now the court has held that the Constitution likewise forbids the 50 states from defining marriage as a union of one man and one woman. But many people of faith disagree, and I'm one of them. And the First Amendment promises that they have the right to do so. Devout Christians are already enmeshed in legal battles over this issue. Navy chaplain Wes Motter, sportscaster Craig James, and others have lost jobs or are losing their jobs because they hold Christian beliefs on sex and marriage. Business owners face more than losing their businesses, as Washington florist Baronelle Stutzman could lose her home and life savings, and Colorado baker Jack Phillips risks jail time if he continues refusing to bake cakes celebrating gay marriage. There are others, and the list grows monthly. Their legal rights are no different from Hobby Lobby's to refuse to cover abortion under Obamacare. Whether from a state or federal RFRA, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or the Constitution's First Amendment, all Americans have the right to believe what their faith teaches and live according to those beliefs. Their freedom is for Christians, Jews, and peaceful adherents of all faiths. Gay rights advocates are escalating the fight. With Executive Order 13672, President Obama is taking administrative action, listen to this, whereby organizations that do not embrace his belief, which he didn't accept when he ran the first time, if they don't embrace his beliefs on marriage, they can be denied contracts with or grants from the federal government. Ultimately, one of these cases will make its way to the Supreme Court, where the justices will decide the First Amendment rights of Americans who sincerely believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. While marriage appears nowhere in the Constitution, there are no fewer than three fundamental rights enshrined in the text of the First Amendment to safeguard religious liberty. This includes the quintessentially American right to dissent, to hold views different from the government, and current popular thought. Many see the Supreme Court's decision as the end. Instead, it's the beginning of a brand new war over religious freedom. America was founded by settlers who yearned to be able to live according to their religious beliefs. Crossing an ocean, searching for a home where they could experience the blessings we call liberty. They called America a shining city on a hill where people would live free with a clear conscience, even if they disagreed with the majority or those in power. 200 years of law and American history are on the side of those committed to be true to their religious beliefs, and commitment embedded in our national DNA. Moreover, 2,000 years of church history shows that those who call Jesus Christ their Lord will never compromise their beliefs, no matter the cost. For centuries, faithful Christians have endured the loss of their freedoms, livelihoods, homes, and even their lives. Secularists who confidently believe that Christians will eventually give up could not possibly be more wrong. If politicians and the courts do not reverse course, we will see civil disobedience on a massive scale by devout Christians peacefully following their church's biblical teachings on marriage. The Supreme Court and the American people at the polls in 2016 need to decide whether this country will respect the First Amendment rights, including their fundamental right to dissent.
For those of you just joining us, we're airing a Family Talk Best of the Best broadcast from 2015. What we just listened to was my dad, Dr. James Dobson, reading an article titled "Same-Sex Marriage Ruling Starts a New Religious Freedom War." Man, Dad, that article was powerful.
You know, Ryan, we have been listening to this fallout from the decision that the United States Supreme Court made. It is depressing and despairing, but despair implies that we do not have an advocate and that things are going to be the way they appear to us. So what we need at the end of this program is some uplifting news, some aspect of what has taken place that'll give us a reason for hope. And there is such news available. And I read it a couple of days ago in a Washington update. This was written by Tony Perkins. And he, of course, is the president of the Family Research Council. And this will give that lift that I was talking about. But anyway, Ryan, I'm going to ask you to read what Tony Perkins wrote that will maybe put a little different perspective on where we are today.
Thanks, Dad. I'd be happy to. This is called Preachers of Habit. It's from Monday, July 13th. Redefining marriage in the courts may not have been difficult, but persuading Americans to accept it is another story entirely. Their supporters may be cheering the Supreme Court now, but those five black-robed lawyers may also be responsible for something else: America's spiritual revival. In church after church, the story is the same. Pastors preaching powerful sermons on God's design for marriage and urging their congregations to accept no substitutes. If what's happening in the pews of America is any indication, the Supreme Court didn't weaken people's resolve, it strengthened it. And if liberals truly believe that evangelicals are the only cultural holdouts on marriage, they're about to find out how wrong they are. Across denominations, ethnicities, and political parties, there's a growing outrage over the court's presumption and the president's betrayal. In African American churches, the White House's anti-marriage campaign is particularly infuriating. "Ask me if I regret it," Daryl Fisher told a Los Angeles Times reporter about voting for Obama. "I do. If I could take it back, I would. On this issue alone. We expect him to rule this nation based on beliefs in this book," he said, holding up the Bible. Like most of the congregations at Mount Hebron Missionary Baptist Church, he was appalled by the president's rainbow light show on the People's House. "It's painful as a Christian," Fisher shook his head, "to see the leadership, our president, has not taken God into consideration." They also resent the fact that this White House continues to link marriage to the civil rights debate. "There is no connection whatsoever," Fisher pointed out. "From Catholic parishes to Jewish synagogues, the faith community is showing liberals what true diversity looks like." In Brentwood, Tennessee, Pastor Mike Easley isn't known for wading into politics. But yesterday, he preached from Genesis 19 and said that if lawsuits come for their views on sexuality and marriage, so be it. The people in the pews stood up in thunderous applause. In Tyler, Texas, the local diocese was put on notice. No Catholic facility or employee of the church would participate in any way in same-sex marriage. Bishop Joseph Strickland left no doubt where he stands after a Supreme Court ruling that he calls unjust and immoral. "It is our duty," he informed his parishes, "to clearly and emphatically oppose it. in spite of the decision by the Supreme Court, there are absolutely no grounds for considering unions between two persons of the same sex to be in any way similar to God's plan for marriage and the family. Tony has written some powerful words there, and all that is to say, don't lose heart. In this season, when we celebrate hope coming into the world, we can have peace knowing God is in control. He's not wringing his hands. He's not worried about our future. He knows what's going to happen, and we can trust in him. This is not a time for despair. This is the time for all true believers to stand together and be a strong voice for God's plan for the family. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for another Best of the Best broadcast edition from Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.